If you take a look in almost any local paper, you will see advertised coach tours to various destinations. The Dutch bulb fields, Italian lakes and mountains, a grand tour of Scotland. But if you're daring and you really don't care where you go, you can go on a mystery tour to see where the coach will take you. You don't have to have any firm destination in mind. Perhaps it's just a clever way of filling spaces on coaches. You know, some people though have the same approach to life, that it is a mystery tour, that it cannot be understood, that there are no assurances to be had. And with no idea where they're going to end up, where that final destination lies. Can I ask this morning, is that you? Are you happy to take your chance? Or would you like to know where the ultimate destination is? Is life a mystery tour? It's not difficult to conceive of our life as a journey through this world. Two things are certain, people say, death and taxes. Well, let's see it this way. Two things are certain, our birth and our death. Unless, of course, we're believers and we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ might return before we die. But for most of us, it's birth and death, and packed in between are a multitude of life events. Some are pleasant, some are painful. Here are a list of things that we might encounter along the way. Not all of these things will be experienced by all people in the same order, but here is a general pattern of life. Birth. Birth of a brother or sister, starting school, going to the next school, being bullied at school. Relationships begin with other people, bringing joy and trouble. We take some exams. In my case, we fail some exams. We pass some exams. We go to college or university. We get a job. Love and marriage. Birth of your own child. You might lose your job. A parent might die. Your marriage may come under strain if you get married. Another child may be born. You find a different job. Your marriage improves. You get promotion. You move to a bigger house. You try to cope with teenage children. There are work pressures. Your marriage may come under strain. It may, in some cases, lead to divorce. You may be made redundant. The children leave home. You may reduce your working hours to a part-time job. And then grandchildren come along and there is retirement, perhaps travel. And then the need to move to a smaller house. Perhaps a partner dies. Perhaps you experience some major illness. You may indeed have to move to a residential home. And eventually, as with all of us, death comes next. Now, I'm not trying to depress you today, but every one of us will find ourselves somewhere along this timescale going through a number of these experiences. But what, in essence, is this journey all about? Is it just a mystery tour, a chance happening? Are we just some cogs in an unavoidable process? Or do our lives amount to something of meaning and significance and purpose? And does the end of the journey lead us to a certain destination? I simply this morning want to unpack with you what Jesus says on this subject in the Bible. In the book of Matthew, chapter 7, and verses 13 and 14. And for this, we're taking, if you like, our last step up the mountain with Jesus in that Sermon on the Mount. And the verses read like this. There's our mystery tour. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. From these verses this morning, I want us to notice the various pairs that are found in the verse. And the first pair I see is the two sets of travellers, the many and the few. The many and the few. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. The many and the few. Today in this country, those who go to church are distinctly in the minority. Those who hold to the Bible as being completely true, being completely reliable and relevant to today as any age, are in an even smaller minority. The vast majority of people live their lives with little or no thought of the God of the Bible. They may dismiss God's word as being old hat and irrelevant. The majority view is to live for the here and now, to do the things which satisfy self, that we are number one, the only thing that's important, that you follow your heart's desire, that you eat, drink and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Now, for any of us, the easiest option is to go along with the crowd, to go with what is popular, to conform to what our peers are doing. That might be in our attitude to money, relationships, fashion, music, whatever is cool at the time, whatever is trendy in the eyes of the majority. It's always much harder, isn't it, to be the odd one out, to break from the norm. But the problem is that the majority isn't always right. Many of you will have watched the TV quiz show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? In the old format, I know it's changed a bit, but in the old format, contestants had three lifelines. There were four options to choose from on any question. To help them, they were able to use these lifelines. Phone a friend to see if they can help you with the answer. 50-50, remove a couple of the answers and be left with a choice between one and another. And the third way of being helped out was to ask the audience. To ask the audience to vote. But unfortunately, when that happened, the majority answer wasn't always right, was it? And so it is in our world, I believe, that going with the majority isn't always the right thing to do. And that's the point that Jesus is making here, that the many are on a road to destruction. Thinking now about two roads, the broad and the narrow. What is the most exciting road in the world? The Champs-Élysées in Paris, Las Ramblas in Barcelona, or perhaps the Las Vegas Strip? If you were in New York, you might head to Broadway. And what makes Broadway so appealing? The dazzling lights, the theatres, the entertainment, the possibility of mixing with rich and famous. But the problem with the Broadway approach to life is that actually in it we find no lasting satisfaction. Whatever we do in it, it is only ever a temporary fix. We have to return to our normal lives. Now, for other people, it's not about fancy cities or roads, but beautiful scenery that they're interested in. But even then, even if you go somewhere beautiful, it's possible not to see it at its best. I went on a walking weekend with the church in May, but I couldn't really do much walking as I was recovering from my knee operation. Who really got the most out of the trip? I suggest it was those who took the narrow path, the narrow road to the top of the mountains. Lots of people might say that they've been to the Lake District. They might have gone there in a coach, gone round the roads at the bottom, have a tea towel or coasters to prove it. But have they really got the most out of it? Surely it was the people who took the steep path, who went to the top of the mountain, who really made the most of their life, of their experience. Perhaps people look at those of us who attend church and are involved in it 95% of the time as being a bit eccentric, that living as a Christian is too restrictive a life. It's not for them. They'd rather go with the crowd, go with the flow. But at the end of the day, we really need to ask, who is the winner and the loser? Which leads me to my third point. Two sets of travellers, two roads, and two destinations. And two gates that we need to pass through in order to reach our destination. Jesus says that the broad road that most people are on leads to destruction, that many enter through it. God is very clear in the Bible that all of us will have to give an account to him for our lives. That when we die, it tells us that we will come before him, that we are all naturally lawbreakers, that the wages of sin is death. It says that God is a holy God, that God must deal with our sins and punish those sins, and that if we die outside of him, we will be cast out from his presence forever to a place of darkness, destruction, and eternal punishment, that this is hell. Now, we are all sinners, and this is naturally our destiny, that we, with the majority, face an eternity outside of God. So many are like lemmings following the crowd down the well-worn path and over the cliff into a godless, lightless eternity. Is that you? Is that where you're heading? The road is broad. The gate is broad. You can come through that gate with all your pride, with all your worldly living. You can do it en masse with the others. But know this, it leads to destruction. The narrow path, on the other hand, is not an easy path. It's a path that we read only a few find, but it leads to eternal life. And Jesus Christ is the gate that we must pass through if we are to enjoy an eternity in his presence in heaven and a new earth. Jesus says in John 10 verse 9, I am the gate, whoever enters through me will be saved. Jesus here reduces our options, doesn't he? If we're thinking about who wants to be a millionaire, he reduces it to just two, the 50-50. We are either on the broad road that leads to destruction, or we are on the narrow path that leads to life. We either enter through the broad gate into a godless eternity, or we come to him, that very narrow gate that leads to eternal life. Now, some people would have us believe that there are ever so many different paths to heaven through a multitude of faiths. But Jesus says that there are only two paths, one without him that leads to hell and one with him that leads to life. Jesus says in John 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Try going down any other route and it will not lead you to that eternal life. Now, entering through Jesus is like entering through a turnstile. The football season has just begun. And in days gone by, turnstiles looked like this. Very narrow places indeed. You could only go through the turnstile one at a time. If you had any bags hanging on your back, then you wouldn't be able to turn the turnstile. And I think that Jesus is saying that to us too, that we can't take this world's baggage with us. We can't just simply cling to the things of this world and hope to enter his eternity. No, we have to recognize our own sinfulness. We have to lay the burdens of this world at the feet of Jesus. We have to recognize our own sin and ask Jesus for mercy and forgiveness. We have to see that he died on that cross outside of Jerusalem to take the punishment of our sin upon himself. We have to follow him, put our trust in him, and then walk that narrow path with him that leads to life. Let me close with this final illustration from my recent visit to Lisbon. When I was in Lisbon, I went on a walking tour with a local guide, and he showed us these various sites. And if you've ever been to Lisbon, you'll realize it's an extremely hilly place. And at one point he showed us the queue of people that were waiting to go up a fancy elevator in Lisbon that had been built by a prodigy of the guy who built the Eiffel Tower. It's a very sort of fancy, ornate elevator. And there were huge queues of people waiting to pay their €5 to seek to get elevated up the hill. Now, our guide said, let's not go there, follow me. We walked just a few hundred yards up the road in through an ornate doorway that led into the railway station. We went into the railway station, and then there were two escalators that took us straight up the hill, and we were at the very top within 5 minutes, whilst the masses were still queuing for the elevator. I want to impress on you that following the crowd isn't always the right thing to do. And as far as eternity is concerned, it's very important that we find the narrow path. The Bible leads us to that narrow way. The Bible leads us to salvation in Jesus. Have you trusted in him? Have you put your faith in him? Are you certain of your destiny? Or are you just hoping for the best? Thinking that life is a mystery tour and that you can't really know where it is taking you. I believe that in God's word and in this passage, we find the answer. That the small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. That only a few find it. Are you going to be amongst the few who trust in Jesus as your Saviour? Bless you today, and may you walk with him in the days to come.